Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, July the 23rd. A top story today is that a man's been taken to hospital following a stabbing in Maidstone. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, where did this happen?
Well, police were spotted at the entrance to Brenchley Gardens in the town centre just after five yesterday evening. Pictures show two police vehicles parked outside and a cordon in place with tape across Station Road. Officers have now confirmed a man was taken to hospital with stab wounds.
And do we know much about his condition and the investigation?
We understand his injuries aren't life-threatening, but he's currently being treated in London. At the time of recording today's podcast, no arrests have been made and officers have now left the scene and the road's reopened. Anyone with information is being asked to call 01622 604 100 and quote 22-1347.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A teacher who crashed her car into railings outside a primary school near Maidstone after drinking several glasses of Prosecco has been given a driving ban. Leonie King had been celebrating at a pub with friends when she decided to move her Land Rover Discovery on Lewes Road in Maidstone last November. The 37-year-old from Lee Avenue in Lewes admitted drink driving and can't get behind the wheel for 14 months. Police investigating reports of a man with a weapon in Maidstone have charged a suspect. Armed officers were called to Moat Park earlier this month after a group of people reported being threatened. A 59-year-old who hasn't got a permanent address has been remanded in custody after appearing in court. A teenager's been arrested after a car had its windscreen smashed by a catapult while travelling in Ashford. The driver, who had three children in the vehicle at the time, had to pull over following the attack in Stanhope Road on Monday. A 17-year-old was detained within half an hour. Police seized a catapult, metal ball bearings and a small amount of cannabis. Now, a Kent man has been telling us how he spent 19 hours in his wheelchair in a hospital reception after his patient transport failed to materialise. Kevin Taylor from Sheppey had an appointment at Medway On-Call Care earlier this month following concerns about swelling to his left leg. He was done by 2:15 but had to wait until the following day to be picked up by G4S and taken back to his residential home in Minster. The 53-year-old has described it as a horrific experience.
Got to about 7 o'clock because it was really hot that day. I went and sat outside Medoc, and then G4S had got a little office there, and I was sat outside this supervisor's office, and every time I got a van pulled out, I thought, well, this must be mine. But obviously not. But then it got to like midnight and I knew something was wrong. So I sat there watching Sky News on loop on the telly in Medoc. And then I suddenly found out that Bonnie Tyler was dead and Anne Whittaker then died afterwards. So I thought, well, after about 4 hours of watching that on a continuous loop, I was sitting there getting bored out of my mind. Then as the morning got on, I phoned G4S at 9:30 and basically I laid down terms. I said, you now need to tell me what's going on. And they said, I'll be somewhere there at 10 o'clock. So I got the call past 9:00 and then one of the Medoc staff come out and said, they've just phoned us and they're not going to be there till 12 o'clock. So there I was crestfallen. I even rang iCars out to see if they could come and get me. But their wheelchair car was already booked. 11:15, these two lovely young ladies turn up. I said, are you Kevin? I went, yeah. Well, come on, we'll take you home.
He wants the company to be held accountable. Well, a spokesperson for G4S Patient Transport Services has sent us a statement. It says, we are sorry for the unacceptable wait Mr. Taylor experienced. The vast majority of our journeys are completed on time. We're currently investigating Mr. Taylor's complaint received on the 10th of July and have a statutory duty to complete this within 28 days.
Kent Online reports.
And Widdicombe's family say a public memorial will be held later this year following a private funeral in the coming months. The former Maidstone MP was found dead at her home in Devon earlier this month. A 28-year-old man's been charged with her murder. The new boss of South East Water is taking over the role today. John Halsall is replacing David Hinton as chief exec of the company. We're told he has a clear plan to improve day-to-day performance and rebuild trust with customers following a number of recent outages across Kent. Dover and Deal MP Mike Tapp has lost his government job. He was an immigration minister under Sir Keir Starmer's leadership and says he's disappointed to no longer be in the role. It comes just weeks after he was accused by the Home Secretary of writing an unauthorised article that broke the ministerial code. Next on today's episode, and a Kent pub boss is welcoming plans to cut business rates for some hospitality venues. Thousands of pubs, clubs and music venues will see a 20% reduction from next April. The new Prime Minister says it'll be funded by reviewing the tax paid by vape shops and online marketplaces. Well, Phil Thorley runs multiple venues across Thanet.
To be honest, it's really nice to be talking to you about some good news to do with hospitality. You know, we've had so many years of hospitality being hit with costs and taxes and rises. So to get something coming in the direction of us as operators to be able to employ more people and service our customers has to be a really good thing.
Do you think the 20% cut is enough?
It's a start. I think that Andy Burnham has sort of come from mayor of Manchester. He used hospitality to rebuild Manchester as a city. So I think he recognises the value of that. And obviously he's spoken to his new chancellor, who's also agreed. So that's a really good thing. And £1,000 per venue is a substantial amount of money. However, when you look at the budget for a pub, £1,000 is not really going to move the dial. I think it's more an intention, and I think the intention is fantastic, but we really need to go get behind the VAT's the problem campaign. We have the highest VAT in Europe. Ireland have just cut their VAT for hospitality, recognising that we are a special case. So we're in a situation where we're saying thank you for what's happened today. We're always happy to have something coming in our direction because we've had so many costs. National insurance, national minimum wage, utilities, etc. has just gone up. And you know, we're now in a situation where a lot of our hospitality businesses are in breaking point. So to get something back is really good, but we now want to get fully behind the VAT campaign. VAT is 20%. We want it cut to 10%, which will be in line with the rest of Europe. It's just happened in Ireland, so why can't it happen in the UK?
What kind of difference will it make for your business specifically, this announcement today about the business rates?
Today, it will just help us get through for the rest of the year, to be perfectly honest. It's not going to move the dial. It's not going to be a game changer. However, it's an intention. And I think an intention that they look to see that this new government values hospitality is better than the last government. So I think the intention is the most important thing out of it.
We've also got reaction from Tudor Price, who's the chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
I guess it would be nice if this came in a bit sooner. I think they're talking about April of next year. The businesses, one of the, you know, this type of industry, their busiest time of year, of course, is the build up to Christmas, and so it'd be really helpful if they could sort of try and maximize their margins and profits over that time. But fundamentally, this is a sort of sticking plaster. You know, the need for complete root and branch reform of the business rate system is really what's looked at. And again, successive governments have promised to have a look at it. And it'd be really nice to see off the back of this sort of temporary announcement, really, that they're going to take this seriously and look at business rates as a whole.
And of course, not all hospitality businesses are covered by this. So, you know, cafes aren't included in this announcement. Do you think that's a bit of a missed opportunity?
It's a really difficult one. I think this is why we welcome the announcement, but say this isn't actually the long-term solution. You know, a complete overhaul of the business rates system is what's needed here, because we're in that difficult position now where do you draw a line? And of course, there will be a lot of businesses who will now be appealing, you know, the fact that they are sort of being excluded when they feel they should be included. And of course, that's just going to take up time and resource. So it's as I say, it's a sticking plaster. It's welcome. You know, it'll be sort of appreciated by those that are eligible. But yeah, there's actually a more fundamental issue that needs to be solved here still.
And just finally, I wanted to get your sort of general opinion on Andy Burnham and his sort of the changes he's made so far. Obviously, he's only been there a few days, but quite a few announcements coming out. What do you make of his leadership and his sort of government that he's planning to lead in terms of businesses?
From a business perspective, it's too soon to say. A lot of good rhetoric. A lot of the things he's done so far are sort of predictable based on the sort of the narrative and the sort of mood music that he was sort of playing before he took office. So there's no surprises here at the moment. But of course, businesses are now looking for a certain degree of certainty and predictability. So things we'd like to see from him is saying, first of all, the cabinet that he's now appointed will be in place for the next 2 years. You know, we don't want any chopping and changing. We'd like to make sure that we've got the same people behind the desk trying to tackle the problems that have been with us for successive governments. Secondly, we'd like to really hear what he proposes to do to try and move the economy. We understand a lot of his focus at the moment is trying to improve the cost of living for many of the people in the country, but that can only be solved in the long term by a growing economy. So we're still waiting to hear what he's going to do on that front. So benefit of the doubt, we'll give him a bit more time. He's only had a few days in the job. Let's see what it plays out over the rest of this rest of this month.
Kent Online reports.
A shoplifter who repeatedly targeted the same shop in Canterbury has been jailed. Stuart Taylor took meat, cleaning products and sweets from Sainsbury's in St Dunstan Street over a three-month period. The 37-year-old, who hasn't got a permanent address, has been locked up for 30 weeks. Firefighters opposed to plans to close on-call stations in Kent are going to stage a demo. They'll gather outside County Hall in Maidstone next month, 2 days before a meeting of the Fire Authority. That meeting will decide if there'll be a consultation on shutting sites in Wye, Chilham, Westrum and Cliff and removing on-call sections from four other areas. One of Kent's biggest academy trusts has been asked by the government to justify the ever-increasing salary of its chief exec. Simon Beamish, who's head of Lee Academies Trust, is currently paid £380,000 a year. That's a 26% rise since 2022. Letters have been sent out to several trusts across the country questioning whether big paychecks are good value for money. Meantime, the Academy Trust that runs Kent's biggest school is going to explore a takeover by a larger operator in a bid to secure its long-term future. Bosses at Tenterden Schools Trust, which runs Homewood, say they believe it's the best option. You may have heard on previous episodes of the podcast that staff who are members of the National Education Union have been staging strike action over proposed job losses. A consultation on those is continuing. Now, parents have staged a protest outside a school in Ashford calling for a bus service for pupils. They're worried the current walking route to Chilmington Green isn't safe. The school currently has 274 pupils, but that's expected to increase to more than 1,000. David and Adele Norton have been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
We need a paid bus service so our students, our kids, can get to school safely. There's no alternative routes really unless you drive them here, which not all parents are able to do.
KCC have given us a what they deem a safe route, which is over 3 miles long from where we live, and it's, in my opinion, it's not safe. There's no proper walkways, there's no lighting, you have to go on grass verges, it's not accessible. That's what we're calling for. We're doing this petition to be able to get safe public transport for our children to get to school.
Would you let your child walk that route? I've been down it, there isn't really any lighting. You can imagine what it's going to be like in the winter time.
Absolutely not, no. And we've tried it ourselves, haven't we? And yeah, there's just no way. There is no way you'd let your child do that.
It's too far. It's across fields, which
isolating,
are unlit.
Isolating.
There's no phone signal. No, wouldn't let my daughter do it, no.
And how does it make you feel as parents here? Because obviously you came here because you thought it was going to be a good school, a brand new facility that's been built, and then clearly not everything's has come as promised.
No, it is a good school, and you know, we're frustrated and we're angry. We're angry that we were promised that there would be a bus route. We were promised there would be a safe walking path. We were promised there would be a cycle route. Where is it?
The irony is, as well, is it was promoted as a green school and everyone's having to drive here to get their children into school. There's no alternative routes for the vast majority of students.
Ollie's also been speaking to Councillor Bill Barrett.
We need a conversation between the hierarchy at KCC and the hierarchy at ABC to bring about some form of paid bus transport at school time to the Chilmington Green schools. I genuinely believe if we don't do this quickly, a child will be injured, potentially killed, or even potentially abducted looking at the walking route, because I do not genuinely believe the walking route is safe. I've walked it myself. It took an hour and 5 minutes. I've literally spoken to numerous parents up and down this road today and over the last month, and they are all outraged that a brand new secondary school is open without a bus stop. It's just not acceptable.
I suppose the routes are legally safe under Kent County Council. Do you believe that? Do you think it passes the sniff test, as it were?
Let's take one example, Ollie. Look at the roundabout. It's a 40-mile-an-hour road. Cars often go past it at 45, 50 miles an hour. There's no pelican crossing. There's no zebra crossing. It's just not good enough to expect 11-year-old kids to have to cross over that every single day. And I'm just concerned that there's a lack of joined-up thinking from the major strategic authority along with the borough council. And it needs to be rectified. That's what this petition's about, and it needs to happen quickly.
Obviously, the plans were the money from where the houses were going to be behind you to go towards these transport options. Surely this is all on the developer holding, basically not delivering on their obligations.
Ollie, in politics, a week is a long time. This has been going on for months and months. Both councils have been aware that that developer has been in administration for months. We can't keep hiding behind that excuse. We need action, we need it soon. And preferably, I'd like to get at least some sort of an idea on what the county council and the borough council are going to do before the start of the next term. Because this is just going to drag on and on and on. And it shouldn't be down to parents to have to protest to get a bus in a secondary school in 2026.
But the county council has said it's up to parents to arrange travel for their children. But they say families could work together to get a privately funded coach service.
Kent Online News.
Plans to build 300 houses on a farm site near Whitstable have been given the go-ahead. The 65-acre plot of land in Chesfield could also eventually be home to a secondary school, sports facilities and shop. The site had been identified for development in the recent draft local plan. The future of a nature reserve on the outskirts of Maidstone has been secured thanks to a mystery donor. Culland Pits near Bluebell Hill was put up for sale for £320,000 earlier this year. There were concerns it could have been bought by a developer. Well, the site's already run by Kent Wildlife Trust, and now a long-time supporter has decided to buy the land and donate it to the charity. Plans to convert a former bank in Margate into shops and flats have been given the go-ahead. Barclays closed its branch on the High Street in 2020 and it's since been plagued by pigeons. Well, it's now going to be turned into four homes and two stores to give it a new lease of life. And finally, if you head to Kent Online today, you can see a new £2.5 million enclosure that's opened at a Kent Animal Park. Bosses at Wingham near Canterbury have plans to double in size over the next 5 years. The new area includes the Kingdom of the Big Cats, which will house Asiatic lions and two tigers. Tony Binskin is the managing director there.
We have really good winter trade because we have lots of areas now for the winter. So for doing us these big areas that we're doing now, it's nice. People can come in, and even when it's a rainy day or cloud, they can still come up here and enjoy it. This has been in plan for a long time. We've had the land now for, I want to say, 3 years, and then all the planning and going through. And we are now, this is 2 years in the making, this part. £2.5 million to build it, so it's a lot of money and a lot of time. And the great thing is it's all done in-house, all done by our own team.
Marcus Wilder is a curator at the park.
Yeah, so it's Kingdom of the Big Cats. We played around for a long time with the name for it, tried to combine sort of the fact that everything up here is from Asia, that at the moment it's all big cats. So in the house it's all going to be big cats, but around it obviously we've got other species as well, like the bears and things. So, but for the building, it Kingdom of the Big Cats felt right.
And these people have been visiting.
Everyone seems to enjoy it, and it's got different features that I haven't seen in zoos before.
I like that it's not just about the big cats, it's about like fish and different kinds of stuff.
I really like it. It's just got so much to explore to other people.
Probably been about 15, 16 years since I came here last, and it's brilliant.
I really like it. I've been here about 3 years ago, and a lot has changed, and it's like you can see all the work that's gone, like been done to it and everything like that.
Kent Online Sports.
A Kent athlete is going to lead out Team England at today's opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games. Sean Honour from Herne Bay will be competing in bowls at her fifth Games in Glasgow. The 38-year-old has said she was speechless when she was told. And in cricket, England's women are going to play a one-day international match at Canterbury next year. They'll take on Bangladesh at the St Lawrence Ground on Tuesday, September the 21st. It'll be the second of a three-match series between the sides. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.